Chairman, I just want to check your swashbuckling chairman's address of blaming the press for everything and ignoring the comments by QBE, Combank, Regnan, Risk Metrics, and various other people. Was that endorsed by the board, the full board, that speech?
The board endorses my comments. Yes, it does.
Did you run the text of the speech past the full board for full board approval?
Yes, I did, Mr. Main.
And Mr. Gonski personally endorses all of those sentiments as the new chairman?
Mr. Main, I do. I think, though, that you are making quite a lot out of what was said. I think that what the chairman said very clearly to the meeting is that we believe that we've had very high standards in what we've done and that a lot has been said of us that is incorrect. And he actually, to his credit, went through a number of different allegations and showed what they were. I understand your frustration, but I also do not in any way suggest that the chairman, be he chairman of the ABC or this company, was suggesting that the press is all bad. That is not what he was saying, and that is certainly not what this board nor he believes. There have been suggestions in the press, there have been suggestions by other parties, and we are proud of what our people have done. It's very hard for them to do what they do and to keep reading negative things about themselves which are not warranted. And I think as a board we will continue to take that stand. Having said that, if the press are quite entitled to make their views, and if we do err, then we must be corrected.
Can I just like Morris to acknowledge a couple of points? Basically, the tone of what you were saying, Morris, was we've done nothing wrong. It's all the press's fault. That was the way I interpreted it. And I'd just like to ask you, do you now accept in hindsight that the waiver you gave to AWB, where it fundamentally ignored the one vote, one value principle, was wrong? Do you acknowledge that the 25-year management contracts given to Babcock and Brown Power were wrong? And do you also finally acknowledge that, I mean, I ran for the board in 2000, 2001, 2002 on a platform that you had a conflict of interest. You're now saying you have no conflict of interest because you have complete separation. So are you tacitly admitting then, Chairman, that when you were chairman yourself of the market supervision separate company, and when Michael Sharp was still sitting on the board, you now admit that was wrong and that there was a conflict of interest. So you can't say there was no conflict back then if you're now saying, because we have complete separation, there is now no conflict. So do you acknowledge you erred when you first set up that separate body by not having it separate enough and independent enough, and that Mr. Gonski's got it right by not going on that board, whereas your decision was to chair the Market Supervision Board?
Well, can I? That's a lot to respond to, but let me say first of all, no, it was not a mistake to establish ASX Market Supervision in the way that it was, and in the case of myself as being the first chair of ASXMS, I had no external boards that would conflict with my role as a chairman of the Market Supervision area. So it was not a mistake, and what we have done is to evolve a structure which goes much more to perceptions than it does to the reality of the way in which ASXMS operates. Could I say in relation to decisions in relation to AWB, which I don't recall, but Mr. Main, this other Mr. Main, Eric Main, our chief executive of the market supervision area, he may be able to add some light to AWB, but what I can say in relation to the infrastructure companies that you refer to, it was implicit that investors in those companies or those entities wanted to know and have the comfort that managers would be there for long-term infrastructure investments in order that they would be able to apply their expertise. The information that was necessary for investors to decide whether they wanted to invest in a company that had a long-term management agreement or not was made available in the prospectus. And so you had a choice. If you didn't like the basic 10-point disclosure that was in the prospectus, then you would not have invested. And I think to lay the blame or to move to laying the blame on ASX for investment decisions that have gone wrong because there wasn't sufficient disclosure, I think is not is not being reasonable at all. So, if you'd like Mr. Main to say something about AWB,
Yes, please,
Mr. Main.
Thank you, Chairman. Mr. Main, no relation, but we share a common spelling of our surname.
Thanks, bro.
The AWB matter is certainly preceded my time at as the appointment of head of supervision. But in terms of the issue around special classes of shares being issued to organisations like AWB and organisations in the staple securities listed entities in and around organisations like Babcock and Brown, or whether it be also Macquarie, those companies that you've adverted to, those waivers that are granted in relation to those shares essentially to seek to align the interests of the people that are operating the business of the company under management agreements or the like, and also the actual owners of the company and also the shareholders and the board. So it's seeking to align those interests for a period of time. In the AWB case, my understanding is that they're moving towards a segregation and separation back to a normalised organisation. And in relation to the types of structures for Babcock and Brown and also for Macquarie Group that have these responsible entity trust manager with a management agreement and a company at Staple Security, there is an ability for the staple security holders to remove the responsible entity by an ordinary shareholder resolution, and in which case it can be, on the occurrence of that event, the special class of shares which are there to assure the alignment of interests over the period of the contract, they then dissolve at that point in time.
But you've got to keep paying them for 25 years. It's not really much good to sack them when you've got to keep paying them. They're unsackable, in effect.
That's what is left in place is the management agreement, and that's the terms in which that management agreement operated, which would have been disclosed at the time of the initial listing as a material contract in the prospectus, and there would have been disclosure to shareholders at that point in time. Yes, there was a commercial agreement in place, and yes, there would be termination rights in relation to that, which would have been disclosed to shareholders in accordance with the disclosure obligation under the Corporations Act. And to my mind, it's just like an ordinary commercial agreement which is subject to termination rights.
But that's my whole point. They haven't been disclosed. I was running for the board on a platform that the contracts be disclosed. You just said they're disclosed. They're not disclosed.
No,
that's the whole point.
The relevant terms of the contract are being disclosed under the prospectus, and that's the obligation that's required under the Corporations Act. We put out a recent guidance note which encourages companies, if they want to disclose the full agreement. We've also provided 10 essential terms that need to be disclosed. In looking at this whole point, one needs to balance the interests of the shareholders, the interests of the listed company in terms of what is a full and appropriate disclosure that's being made to shareholders. The decision could be, do we disclose the full agreement and have no summary around no explanation as to what is actually in that agreement, what are the main provisions, or do we have a system where we disclose or require disclosure of the 10 essential terms if we put it to them, and at the same time encourage companies, if they want to disclose to the shareholder the full agreement, and indeed if the shareholders ask them that they'd like to have a copy of that agreement, for that company to provide a copy to the shareholders who request it.
I guess my point is that you require disclosure of the full constitutions of companies. The listing rules force full disclosure of constitutions, and I'm simply asking that the listing rules should also force full disclosure of management contracts, as happens in the US.
Could I suggest that perhaps this is getting a rather arcane discussion, that the two Mr. Mains, if they are so inclined, take this discussion offline?